You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. All I can say is I cannot wait for the day that this cast blows up and it cracks the top 10. For no other reason than I'm hoping the day fucking comes where Biscuit feels compelled to get me one of those wacky LA cookies with my picture on it. So let's go, people. Spread the word about the show. Let's get this bad boy in the top spot. Jimmy wants some face cookies. Later.
Sebastian Show, we're back, baby.
Back again. We're back on the consistency trail. So nice to be back here. It's a wonderful Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock, 9-11 to be exact. I'm in Los Angeles. Are you in Fredonia?
In lovely Fredonia. Beautiful sunny day, 420. Big pot day for people that might not know. Also, more importantly, the kid's birthday.
It's your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, why did that slip by me? I normally have this stuff on the calendar. Let me talk to Catherine about that.
Dude, what is the deal, by the way? The other day, I texted to say, when can you cast? I just started at the beginning of the week, so we have plenty of time to figure it out. Don't hear anything for 24 hours. So then I text Catherine, and we get the ball going right away. So I guess it's official. Everything through Catherine. I have no problem with that. She's on it. But, like, do you not even respond to your own? Like, unless it's coming from Catherine?
No, I mean, how it's set up now is everything through the calendar goes through her. So it's not like I don't see this stuff. I don't know what the hell's planned on the calendar until I talk to her anyway. So for scheduling the podcast, it's just better you go through her because, boom, she's got the calendar and she could kind of look at it and go, you got 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning free. You want to do that with Pete? Boom, slide it in. So she's managing the calendar.
Did Watt, I know he was out in L.A. and we were texting and he made a joke about trying to get a hold of you. And then I forwarded him Catherine's number and he literally goes, oh, fuck, not fuck, but he goes, thank you, man. Because he was coming out to L.A. and he wanted to hang out with you. Did you guys?
Yeah, no, we didn't get a chance to hook up. He had asked me if I wanted to go and work out with him at 7 o'clock in the morning one morning, and I had an 8 o'clock call, so I couldn't make it. But no, Watt and I didn't hook up. However, I saw his brother, Derek, at my show in Milwaukee. He came with his girlfriend and a few friends that they went to high school with. So he came out to a Milwaukee show. It was good to see him. Of course, cut from the same cloth. Amazing.
Yeah.
The whole family. I don't know. These parents should write a book on child rearing because polite, well behaved. Just a joy to be around these guys. And then the kid's what, 20, 21, if that, carries himself like he's a 38-year-old man.
Yeah, I don't want to get into people's private life, but it was out there in public that Watt went on a date with Kate Hudson, And I know she's got him by, what, 10 years maybe? But someone I was around said, oh, man, I see Watt went out. She's so much older. And in my head, I'm thinking, if anyone knows Watt, she probably went home feeling like she was an 18-year-old.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The guy carries himself like a Kennedy. So it flows down. It wasn't just they got lucky with one kid. I mean, they raised them all like that, the Watt clan.
Yeah, no, it's this family is a tight-knit group. So
can I ask you one question? Is this my term bouncy to say, but if like Watt, I was ever in the same town, and he called me up and said, you want to come work out at 7 in the morning, is it bouncy to say, no, but I'd love to come with a cup of coffee and watch you work out? I mean, that's got to be like watching a thoroughbred do a few laps at Belmont, right? Are you going to do the tire thing today?
You think you could shout out requests?
I want the tire, and I want that dead jump. I want a few of those, too. Oh, God, it's like going to a zoo. And if you come at noon, they feed the seal. If you come at around 8:30, that's when he's doing the tire. Well, isn't that what the boxers do? They charge before the heavyweight bout. They charge to watch him work out.
Yeah, I think people could pay a fee to watch people box or get ready for the championship fight. I don't know. Watt should be cashing in on this. Maybe $10 to sit around the gym and watch this guy lift ungodly weight.
Even if you just take it from a movie star standpoint, honestly, if I was playing on a Saturday night at Funny Bone Comedy Club in Des Moines, Iowa, and across the street for the same amount of time I was performing, what's that guy's name? Tatum Chating? Tatum?
Oh, yeah. Tatum Chatham? What the
fuck? I don't know. The guy who looks like every fucking stud of every high school, like just a typical high school handsome guy.
These guys meant to say Tatum Channing. Learn your hunks, fellas.
So let's say across the street from the comedy club for the same time, he's going to be working out with no shirt on for $5 cover charge. You could sit there and watch that. I mean, I'd like to think I'd outsell that, but...
Oh, God.
Have you ever stopped for a few seconds in L.A., that famous outdoor place where they lift weights? I've checked it out on the beach. What the hell's that called?
Venice Gold's Gym.
Yeah. Have you ever seen some of those monsters lifting there when you go by?
Yeah, I've checked it out. It's a scene.
It's a scene.
Yeah, I've never worked out there, but it's where Arnold Schwarzenegger trained when he was Mr. Olympia.
That's where he did the main training?
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Pumping Iron?
No, I know it's very famous, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, half of the movie takes place in that gym.
Jesus, man, it's so hot!
Oh, yeah, it's like the gym of all gyms. They were in there... Anytime you want to get motivated, this is for the listeners, particularly the guys that want to get a good pump. You want to get motivated to go work out, go to YouTube and throw on like a 3-4 minute clip of Pumping Iron. And I tell you, you go to the gym with no shirt on. That's how motivating it is.
Really?
Oh, my God.
The greatest feeling you can get in a gym, or the most satisfying feeling you can get in the gym, is the pump. Let's say you train your biceps. Blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump. Your muscles get a really tight feeling, like your skin is going to explode any minute. You know, it's really tight. It's like somebody blowing air into your muscle. It just blows up, and it feels different. It feels fantastic. It's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
You are in heaven and I am in bouncy hell.
Well, music, it's unbelievable. Like when I go to the gym, I could be in the middle of an exercise and a mellow tune will come on from my phone that I have, like Ray LaMontagne. I love the guy, but I like him at night by a campfire. and it messes up my workout, and then a great rockin' tune comes on, and I'm literally fucking pumped again, man. It's unbelievable how that works.
Well, do you have like a playlist that you play with all music that would get you going? I mean, why is La Fontaine coming on during the workout?
Well, because I'm lazy, and I do have my, your playlist for working out, but I haven't updated them in a while, and they're just, I can't take it anymore. I can't listen to this. I listen to a band called, this is out of my, not my normal thing, Fun, F-U-N.
They have isn't that like a pop band?
Yeah, I know, man. It's almost as embarrassing as The Weeknd that you listen to. Some nights I feel like, how's that go? Cashing in my bad chips. Some nights oh, man. But I still hold on. Yeah. And they get me going, bro. And then now it's been 2 years straight, and now I'm just sick of it, man. So I need new. I can't ask you, though, because I don't like your music, so you can't recommend.
Well, I mean, there's, to be honest with you, I don't even listen to, I listen to talk radio when I work out. That's how old I am.
Really?
Shit, it's embarrassing.
I just don't even know, like, so you're lifting weights and the guy's going, what are we doing with this deficit?
Yeah.
Can we get an up right now for the old days?
yeah, man, I'm telling you, you put on some like political talk radio, yeah. It enrages me. I get so angry. I lift more weight than I would if I was listening to Megadeth.
Oh God, you got a point. I could probably lift a car if I'm listening to Ted Cruz give a speech. Shit, if he was in the same room, I'd fucking throw it at him. You got a point, man.
Oh man.
Oh, with that nose coming at me. They had the. I'm out. I'm out.
What?
I'm not doing politics, man.
There we go.
No, I'm not.
That happening?
No, it's just no sense. So listen, I gotta ask you. NBC calls tomorrow and says, we're still trying to work it out, and we're looking like we're liking your show, and might be picking it up, but there's no guarantees. But here is a guarantee. You bail on that show, you come and you co-host with Kelly Ripa starting tomorrow for a 3-year guaranteed run. You in, or are you still going with the sitcom, possibly?
I'm out.
You calling Danza saying, do your own thing, guy.
No, I'm out. I'm out on the...
You're out on Ripa?
I'm not in a Ripa.
Wow, I hear you. It's very hard to have people come on and pretend you care about what they're doing every day.
God, yeah. Well, could you do that?
Nah, I could barely do it on the radio, and that, you know, let alone... I mean, just how do you have a guy like Zac Efron come on and talk about some movie I don't even like and go, yeah, you really crushed it again, Zach. Oh, God. Not to mention, I really don't particularly care for Kelly Ripa. So that's a problem right out of the gate.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the show. I mean, it's okay. It's just, I don't know. Those morning shenanigans type shows, I'm just not into it.
Yeah, I mean, I could like it if I found the... I like the Chew. Have you ever seen the Chew?
No.
It's a bunch of chefs. There's one guy, he's bald. He's a cool guy. I don't know his name. And then there's another guy, I think he's gay. He's very sarcastic. That guy makes me laugh out loud sometimes, man. He's that funny. So that's... That's good. But, you know, the gay guy, his job is he tells you what you can do when you're having a party. Like, you know, stuff like in the fall when the leaves are on the ground but they're not dry yet, you can roll the fork and knife up in a leaf and put a little twist. I mean, I'm making that up, but that's how fucking ridiculous this guy gets. Cut open the pumpkin, carve it out, and put the candy corn right in the pumpkin. And like, who's got that kind of fucking time? But that's his gig. And then the other guy tells you how to barbecue, and then the other one tells you what to drink. Yeah, so that's a good one. It's called The Chew.
I think...
You'd be great on that, dude, because you're a foodie.
I wouldn't mind going on there. I think Michael Simon is the guy who's the bald chef.
Yeah.
And Batali's on that show, right?
Oh, yes, he is, because he's always wearing those What are those shoes people wear?
Oh, those Crocs?
Yeah, yeah. What kind of man wears those Crocs?
I don't know, man. It's like the new flip-flop.
It's fine. For a chick.
Yeah.
A guy wearing pink Crocs?
It's what the chefs wear. It's like comfortable, I guess. I don't know. I can't see it.
By the way, I mean, the over-under on that guy dropping of a heart attack has got to be within, what, 3 years? I mean, the guy, he's sweating. He's coming out of his outfits. Batali's got it. You know, but right? I mean, don't they tell them when they go to break? Married. Would you do that with me, bro? If I ballooned up to like 270, 280, I don't know. You don't return a text. No, but seriously, you think you'd ever say that to me as a friend? You'd go, hey, yeah, guy, what's going on here? Or would you just be my own deal?
Yeah, God, weren't we talking about this the other night with people? About do you say to a good friend if they're unhappy in their life or they're doing something that's not healthy or if they're doing whatever, drinking too much or whatever? Do you, as a friend, tell them to stop? Or if they're unhappy in their marriage, do you tell them you got to get a divorce? Or what's your place as a friend to tell another friend what they're doing in their personal life? Like, if you ballooned up and I go, Pete, man, you gotta watch it, man. Would you come back at it with, mind your own business, guy?
No, that I wouldn't, because we've been doing this a long time. We got a relationship. So I wouldn't say mind your own business, but I might say something like, yeah, I know. But somebody that doesn't know me as well, I would definitely say mind your own business. That's the key, you know. You want to know, like, one time a girl came up to me years ago at the one of the comedy clubs, and she's in AA. This is years ago. And, you know, during the week sometimes for a while, maybe I'd be having a few brewskis, and she comes up and she's like, I really think you have a problem, and if you want to come to a meeting with me. And I remember saying something to her, no offense, I said, but do you know how many people have to come up to me and have this conversation before it would be your turn? Like, you're not even close to being close enough to me to say this.
Yeah.
Beat it. Yeah. But if it was somebody close, then maybe I'd be a little more like, all right, you have a right to say that, but, you know. So I don't know.
You're saying that it depends on the relationship whether or not you could say anything to the person.
Yeah, I think so. And then it also depends on what it is, you know? I wouldn't get into someone's marriage because, you know, I don't want to be the one to say, leave her, and then you're crying on my shoulder 3 years later because you're so goddamn lonely. Yeah, you know? But the food thing is one. I don't know why I latch on to that. Like, even when I was with Regan, you know, we were talking about on the road, and he mentioned dieting with the Nutrisystem, or maybe doing one of those, and I was like, dude, you just work out, and I start giving my big speech about how you gotta treat working out like brushing your teeth, you just gotta do it. And I don't know why, but I push that on people, and I don't care that I'm doing it, because everybody should work out. But if you're smoking, doing drugs, cheating on your wife, that's none of my business. Isn't that weird? I mean, what about you? Do you take a stand on one over the other?
I don't know, man. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, there's a couple people in my life I wouldn't mind telling, you know, get out of the situation you're in. It's not a healthy one. But then it's like, am I crossing the line into a personal thing where it's none of my business? But as a friend, I want to see my friend happier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a tough call, though, man, you know? I'll reach out. Beat it.
Take a walk.
Whether you're golf's biggest fan or you're just ready to try a new fantasy sport, you can play 1 week fantasy golf for free every week. DraftKings.com. Just pick six golfers before a tournament tees off, stay under the salary cap, and rack up
points for streaks per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition and you could win. Only DraftKings brings the excitement of golf to this level. With every monster drive and every made putt bringing you closer to victory. And DraftKings offers more than fantasy golf. Choose from a variety of sports to showcase your winning skills, like baseball, soccer, even mixed martial arts. Millions of sports fans, just like you, have already discovered DraftKings. Now it's your turn to get in on the action for free. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Fantasy golf contests begin when tournaments tee off, so hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your golfers and to be sure to use promo code LINEMEN, that's capital LINEMEN, all caps, to play for free. That's promo code LINEMEN to play for free now, only at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com.
Oh, speaking of Regan, could we get like a... You know, a little insight. Was there any, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning conversations? Did we?
I mean, you know, it's just great, man. The guy is just the nicest guy. I can't even express enough how freaking nice this man is and generous. And, you know, the shows are amazing. By the way, dude, we were in Milwaukee and what a great city. I was on my bucket list to go to Milwaukee. That's how I open a show. 2,000 people, whatever. I come out and I go, this place was on my bucket list, baby. Yeah. So that's a fun town. We had fun there. But yeah, the first night we were playing in Des Moines. And, you know, like I said, Regan sometimes likes to go to the comedy clubs. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, I want to go to Funny Bone, who's there and stuff. And I mean, how great is this? It was Bert Kreischer.
Oh, wow.
I know. So I'm like, dude, one of my close friends is playing there. And. And then we text Bert, and we don't hear back from him because he's probably on stage. So we just figure, and the club doesn't even answer the phone once the show starts. So we're like, let's just go for it. And we get in the car, and we're going over there. And then Bert texts back, and he's like, I'm sorry I missed you. What's going on? Where are you? And I'm like, we're 5 minutes away. And he was so psyched. And then you walk into the bar at the club at West Des Moines, and there's about 20 people standing around not saying a word. And they're all looking at us as we come in. And then all of a sudden you hear, what's up? And Bert pops up from behind the bar, no shirt on, two Heinekens, one in each hand. You know, just typical Bert. And right away he's got the nicest things to say to Regan, and that was a blast hanging there. And then you go, then one night we went to another comedy club in Columbus. And it's just funny when you walk in and like, you know, some of them knew me because I had been there kind of recently. But, you know, they don't even know who Brian is. And it's like, I suppose if you're working at a rock venue and maybe, I don't know. I just feel like you should know. It's funny how a comedy club's not everyone who works there is even into comedy.
Yeah.
Or has any clue who anybody is. So, you know, but then once the word got out, the manager came over and that was fun too. But, you know, just, late night hanging. On the bus, you know, on to the next city. So a lot of fun. And then just to close it out, it's the last little thing I want to say about the kind of guy Regan is. So the last day, we're flying out of Peoria, Illinois. And we all have early flights. And they're around the same time. So Regan's like, just take the bus over with me. Don't even worry about cab or anything. So we all come out. We get on the bus. And we get to Peoria. It's a little bit of a line. I don't have the TSA pre-check. But Regan does, and his road manager does, and it doesn't matter. Once we get through the gate, we're going our separate ways. We already said our goodbyes. Take care. You know, it takes me way longer. I finally come through security. I get out the other side. Who's standing right there but Regan? And he goes, come on over here to the side. We're getting some coffees. We're getting you a coffee. And then I go over, I grab my coffee, pats me on the back, and he's like, all right, man, take it easy, see you soon. But like, you know, he even waited one more time to treat you to a coffee. It's like the guy's he's taken the Heaven Express. When he dies, he's gonna get to cut the line.
So can you believe how much I am in heaven?
I would have been at the gate with my headphones on.
Yeah, right? I mean, I know me. Even I need a break from me, right? I can't believe he didn't walk away and go, if I don't hear another Italian for 3 weeks, it'll be too goddamn soon. By the way, bro, that leads me to something on my little list. I got things all over here I just need to bring up. Can somebody help me, bro? Pardon my French, but I just have to say it. What the fuck happened to Joe Pesci? Did he just retire? Did he, like, official? Is that because, I mean, he can obviously get work, right?
I don't know. About 3 or 4 months ago, he was a guy that we were actually looking at to play my father.
I was going to say, did he even come up in conversation during this thing?
Yeah, no, he did, but it wasn't actively pursued because, I don't know, we looked around and, first of all, I don't know if he even does TV, but yeah, he's been MIA, man. Has this guy done a movie in the last 10 years?
That's the tricky thing. He's done some of the most iconic movie roles of all time, and then he seemed to kind of fade away, and everyone's like, well, he probably doesn't need the money. You know, maybe he just doesn't want to act anymore. And then all of a sudden, he pops up in a Snickers commercial.
He was?
Yeah. Remember when he was grouchy?
So you guys grew up together?
Yeah, since third grade. What are you looking at?
I'm not looking at anything.
We're not good enough for you. You look for something else?
No, I don't know.
What are you, big supermodels?
Oh,
Jesus. Supermodels. What are you, model gloves? What are you doing? A girl's totally into me.
Brad, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you get a little angry when you're hungry. Better?
Better.
And then it kind of threw you off because you're like, well, does he need the money? I mean, of all things, this is your comeback? Scorsese's using Bobby Cavanaugh and Ray Romano because he thinks you're not going to work anymore.
No. Actually, I love both of those guys. I was just looking for an Italian thing to say. But, I mean, Bobby Cavanaugh, have you seen Vinyl? Holy shit, can that guy act his balls off? And Ray Romano's killing it, too. But
I haven't seen it. I don't think his name is... His name is Bobby Cannavale.
Well, do a few more movies and I'll get it right. All right, guy? No, he was also great in some movie with some... Yeah, he's very good. So how do I pronounce it? Cannavale?
Yeah, I think it's Cannavale.
Carnivale.
Yeah.
All right. That's hard.
Is it Car? Is it with a V? Hold on. Bobby.
I think it's Bobby Cannavale. I don't know if he comes back with the E.
Oh, it's Cannavale. Cannavale. Not
Cannavale. Cannavale. Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know. So when you guys were talking about Pesci, what was the word amongst you?
No, it was just like, hey, you get Pesci, but then we were looking to see, you know, if that would be a possibility, and it just kind of petered off. It wasn't anything that we actively pursued. How old is Joe Pesci? I think it had something to do with maybe age or...
Mm-hmm. You can do Google that
no,
shit?
No, yeah, 73. He's 73, the guy.
Wow. Wow, so you guys are afraid you get it. You run it. We don't need it. We know. All right.
Motherfucking mutt! You! Keep him here. Keep him here.
Okay. Yeah, man. Yeah. So maybe that's the deal. Maybe just he's like, I'll do a Snickers commercial because it'll take me 2 days and I'll get $1 million.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite actors. Still is. I'm looking. He was in this movie called The Mysterious Disappearing Act.
Nah, how long ago was that?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the images online here.
Do you remember him in JFK? He was unbelievable. I mean, we all know him in those Italian things, but man, was he good in that.
Yeah, he was excellent. He's one of the greats, but you're right. I'd like to see him in a couple more movies.
I don't know. That might be the end of the run. I was just, I was also thinking of Bridget Fonda. What happened to that little peachy number? She was fantastic.
Yeah, she's out of the... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still... The Mysterious Disappearing Act of Joe Pesci. Sorry, that's not a movie. That's like a headline.
Oh, all right. I guess we're late to the party.
I don't know. I gotta research that. The article's too long. Or maybe it is a movie. I don't know.
No, we'll look forward to the report.
So
did you see that I don't know what you call them where they put your face on stuff, but the guy that does P&S quotes, oh, he does one where you're sitting with Lipton and below it says, when Tony knew not to talk over the knock on the door, what a thespian. When we were talking last
week. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
So, all right, I keep interrupting. What's up? You got anything in particular? A direction you want to go?
So I went to the house yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to report there's like 18 people in there. It's the most people I've ever seen in my house since I had a party.
Wow.
Finally, this stuff's happening.
That's a shocker, man.
Yeah, man. Man, it was great. So, things are happening at the house.
Do we have an estimated finish time?
We're looking at the end of July.
All right. So, probably end of August.
Yeah, so probably October. But, so that's good. Lana and I, we are going to Australia for a couple of gigs. And then on the way back, we have booked our little vacation to Italy. So Lana and I are excited. We're going to spend 2 weeks in Italy, in Portofino, and then on the coast of Tuscany. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, because the Australia thing with the gigs and all, that's not a vacation.
Well, it's winter there.
Oh, really? But it doesn't really get cold, does it?
Well, it's like 60 degrees, but you can't really do, you know, summer type stuff. Yeah. So,
oh, nice. Go. That'll be awesome, dude. That'll be awesome.
So that's going to be good. And then on the way back from that, we're going to stop in Chicago for my father. He's turning 70. He's having a big blowout bash at his house. So we'll stop there for that.
Oh, and then, man, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be... That's going to be... My father came to Milwaukee. By the way, did you guys play at the Riverside in Milwaukee? Or the Pabst?
Yeah, we played at the Riverside. Riverside.
So, speaking of Milwaukee, on my way to Minnesota, and I don't know if you've encountered any of this problem at the airport, but for those of you who don't know, the TSA has shrunk their workforce. So there's longer lines at the checkpoint. Have you come across this?
No. I mean, no. I didn't realize that, actually.
Well, in cities like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, you'll probably see it more than any other city. But what the TSA is, I guess, I don't know, due to maybe budgetary constraints, has shrunk their workforce. And now to get through TSA takes longer. So, leaving out of a midnight flight out of Los Angeles, I got to the checkpoint, and I noticed that it was packed. And I became immediately concerned because I'm like, geez, I got to get on this flight. So, I have that TSA pre-check thing where you get in that line. But that line is the same size as the other line. So, there's really no benefit. And I don't know if you've ever noticed when people can't get on a flight, they like, it's like a freak out. I've never seen this before. People start going nuts. I gotta get on the flight. I mean, you see this all over. So I'm cool. I'm thinking, I'm trying to calculate. Okay, let me look at the situation. There's a guy that works kind of with TSA, but he might be an airport employee. People keep going up to him and going, my plane is boarding, I have to get on the plane. So he was taking these people around the line and basically jumping the line so they could make their flight. Now, my question is, not you, but the people that are coming and that are late, they're skipping the line. To me, it's like, why? Because you were late, now you're going to cut in front of me when I was early? Do you think that's right?
It's not right. And I got a story about that, too, on top of this. I can't believe the same situation. But no, that's not right. But if you're in that situation like you kind of were, it's good to know that you got that. You can throw that bomb down where you walk up and go, look at my ticket. I'm not lying. I'm boarding soon. You know, did you do that? Did you say anything or did you just hold out?
Well, I wasn't boarding, but I was close to boarding. I was 15 minutes. No, I'd say about a good 20 minutes out. So I go to the guy. I say, listen, I need to jump the line.
So you're doing it too.
But I had $100 bill in my hand.
Oh my God, I need to take a moment. I can't fucking breathe. You fucking, you had to tip the TSA guy. Oh, shit. Please tell me you didn't date me.
No, this is what I wanted.
What? I lost it. What'd you say?
This is what I wanted to happen. And I have to paint the picture here. Okay, do you know when you give your license and your airline ticket to the TSA guy, and then then you wait in another line to put your stuff on the conveyor belt?
Yes, and that line itself, when you give him your ticket and your license, I take that so seriously. Like, I'm so far from not think I could tip, I take my hat off. So when they look at my license and then they go, you can put the hat back on. I don't play games. You got a C note in your left hand?
Well, I'm not talking to that TSA guy. I'm not talking. I'm just trying to paint the picture. There was a line to get to that guy.
Right.
And
okay.
Then after you saw that guy, there was another big line. So there's almost two lines you got to go through to get to that metal detector. So what I wanted to happen was I wanted to go to the metal detector. I wanted to skip everything and be escorted right to the metal detector. That's what I wanted. Okay.
Like a pilot.
Like a pilot. Yeah, I wanted pilot treatment. So then... So I go to the guy. I don't show to Hunter right away.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the guy. I go, listen. And I was really calm. I go, listen. I really need to get on the flight, as I'm sure everybody here has to. But I need to get to the metal detector. And he goes, sir, and right when he said sir, he said it in a way like it was going to be negative. I show him the 100. He looks down, and he looks at me, and he goes, and then he looks up, like there was like cameras, like he looked up, and he goes, I can't take that. I go, hey, up to you. I just need to get on the flight. He goes, sir, I can't take that. I'd lose my job. I said, fair enough. And I got back into the line. Okay? Now, this guy wasn't a TSA employee. He was, I don't know, you ever see these guys in the airport? They walk around, they got like a sweater vest on, but then they got some badge hanging off it. That was that guy. Whoever that guy is.
All right.
So I knew TSA wasn't going to take it, but this guy was like an airport employee that I thought maybe he was kind of rogue and he was on his own.
Yeah, I don't know. You might have had a good shot with a TSA agent if they...
I don't think so. Yeah. But TSA ain't going to do it. So I get back in the line.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, I'm sweating a little bit. Now who comes like bullying right past me with a kind of like an escort, Ron White.
Really?
Ron White comes like, he looked like he was in a hurry, but he had like a handler. Ron White goes right to the guy, gets his license checked, and they skip right to the detector. Now I'm thinking, I gotta get Ron White's guy. And I know this from past experience, that there's a service that I think it's through the airline or through the airport where you pay extra and you get like a greeter who will check you in and will take you past the TSA. I've seen John Legend do this.
Yeah, I've seen Vanessa Williams do it. I think I brought this up once on a show, and I rode that wave. She let me come with her.
You tagged along on the Vanessa Williams train?
Yeah, man. I was flying out of JFK at, I thought, 6:30. And I go to do my e-board thing, and it won't let me. And I go up to the counter, and I say to the lady, what's the problem? And she goes, the flight's at 6. It's less than an hour till your flight. You can't check in less than an hour. And I go, oh, come on, I got no check luggage. She goes, all right, I'll check you in, but you're probably not going to make it. So I'm running, and now I'm on security, and I'm sweating, and I'm like, I'm literally boarding. And I'm like, I ain't getting on that. And I couldn't believe there was a line. It was American Airlines at the time, and it was two flights, one going to L.A. and one going to Dallas that early. And I distinctly remember because I'm waiting, and then Vanessa Williams comes walking up with a handler, goes past everybody, I don't even think she showed the license. I think they handed it for her.
Mm.
And she gets, and as she's going up, I'm freaking out, so I yell out, I'm on her flight. Can I go with her? I'm on that flight. And the woman at the podium looks up and says to me, oh, I don't even know what flight she's on, sir. And I go, there's two right now. And I guarantee you she ain't going to Dallas. That's what I yell out. And Vanessa Williams laughs and goes, something, she says, like, come on, sweetie, come on, baby. Something like real, oh, you know, wow. Black and cool, like, you know, sexy but nice. Like, but yeah. Not like, you know, just, I made her laugh. And she's like, come on. So they didn't know what to do because Vanessa was letting me through. So I'm like, thank you so much, thank you. And then when I get through, I ran to the plane. And I get to the plane and the, you know, flight attendants are literally standing out in front. And I quick get on. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I made it. She didn't even get on till like 10 minutes after that. Vanessa Williams didn't even run to the plane. Like, it was waiting. And I didn't even, you know, from then on, I couldn't thank her again or anything because I was in coach and they closed the curtain. But I was like, yeah, as soon as they landed, I tell Jackie, I'm like, I got through because Vanessa Williams gave me the wave. So, I think what I learned from that, too, I asked someone, I think it's because, which you'll qualify probably, is that you get to a certain level of fame and they don't want to have you have to be around people that are going to ask for autographs and maybe disrupt the line. They don't want a lot of talking on the line. They want people to pay attention. And if Ron White's on that line or Sebastian Maniscalco, you know, the idea is let's get these people through. So
listen.
That's the idea.
Yeah, well, it had nothing to do with me being hounded by anybody in line.
I know, but I'm saying that's how you get it.
Well, you get it because, I mean, you can get anything you want if you pay for it. So I'm thinking, I want to find out how much it is. If it's astronomical, forget it. I'll sit in line. But if it's in a reasonable fee, let's say this. Let's say when you booked an airline ticket and they offered you expedient service, you don't have to be a celebrity, a CEO, or anything else. They said, listen, for another $150, we will have a guy greet you curbside with your ticket and take you directly to your gate. And you also get to hang out in the private lounge so you don't have to hang out at the gate. And the guy will come and get you at the lounge when your flight is ready to board. Would you pay an extra $150 for that service?
I wouldn't, but tons of people would, man. It's even like the TSA pre-check. Regan was saying the same thing. He's like, there's a line at that now. I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I got the TSA, I got that the pre-check because I thought that was the that was the thing. And I didn't pay for that at the time. At the time, you had to submit your information. They did a background check on you. And then you got in. You were in the group. But now, it's so screwed up over there. They're throwing people in pre-check. They're not even pre-checked. So I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. I got basically my wife audited to get in this line. And now Joe Schmo is getting into this line because they're backed up on the regular check-in?
Yeah, I got that with my whole family once. We all got TSA pre-check. And we were in the airport going, oh, we're all TSA pre-check. You know, because they give it to you sometimes as a little, I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was a little, hey, check out how fantastic this is, and then you'll go home and want to sign up. I thought that's what they were kind of doing.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's like they're short-staffed, and they just need to get people through the line.
Oh, and the thing you were talking about that Ron White has, I don't know if we can Google that shit, but I think it's beyond money, though. I think that is like something you got to subscribe for or apply for, and then it's based on other things other than just money, because, you know, come on, you would pay a lot more than $150, and so would so many of you people. So I think that's more of a discretionary thing. Although, quite a few people on the line was like, who's this fucking whitehead guy going to? I'm sorry, you know? I mean, I could see if he's coming out of Vegas. So that must be Ron White.
Yeah, I almost tagged onto his coattails. I've met Ron. I've actually brought him up on stage at the Comedy Store, and I met him in Montreal once, and I doubt he would know who the hell I was. But I almost jumped out of line and said, hey, Ron, how you doing? But yeah. I didn't want to be that guy.
I met him once too. I think I would do that. I think I would have done that off the time I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing in the Vegas Improv, and he wanted to do a guest spot because he was working on something. And I remember watching from the side because he's a legend, and he wasn't doing very well because it was all new stuff. And he looks over at me with the scotch in his hand, and he goes, I'm a lot fucking funnier than this kid, trust me. So maybe I'd throw it at him. Remember Vegas? You weren't doing well? Let me get on that ride with you there. Where you going? I don't know. You should have yelled out, Ronnie!
I should have. He was on my flight, too.
Dude, you should have just said hi. Like, you didn't even want to get on it. You just said, Ron!
Yeah, I don't, he looked like he was really concerned about getting on his flight, so I didn't even bother.
I hear you.
But, so yeah, the tipping doesn't work at the airport if you want to get through. At least it didn't work for me. I just looked at it as like, listen, I got to get on the flight. If I don't get on the flight, I'm going to lose money on the other end of this thing. So I figured the $100 would have got me in, but it doesn't get you into the airport. Could get you a table at a restaurant, but it's not going to get you into the airport, at least the guy that I was talking to.
Bro, all I know is episode 3, you and Lana going on a vacation with your pop. And either you or Tony Danza tries to tip a scene note to get through security. It'll be one of the funniest things on TV the whole season. I mean, what a story. So, well, I'm going through a Peoria, as I was saying, to leave, and a small airport, not a big line, but you know those small airports, they are so slow, dude, you know? Yeah. So a girl, I'm getting kind of close to the podium, and then there's some people doing TSA, so they would do one TSA person, and then one slug like myself, and then one TSA, and then... So a girl goes up to TSA, and she's got a bag, and she's frazzled, and she's like, I'm running late for my flight. Can I just go through? And the woman goes, you're not TSA pre-checked. I can't just let you through. But I'm going to miss my flight. I can't let you through, miss. You're not TSA pre-checked. But I'm going to... And then she goes, well, why don't you ask all these people here online if it's okay for you to cut them all? And if they're okay with it, then you can. So she looks over at all of us collectively, this line. And she literally goes, I'm running late for my flight. Does everybody here, do you guys mind if I just go now? Do you mind? You know, and of course, I just keep my head down reading a post off my phone.
Yeah.
I don't even know if other people react, but I'm just thinking, like, either, you know, let the chick through because I can't watch the whimpering anymore. Or, you know, throw some cuffs on her and get her the fuck out of here. So she gives this big speech. For like, you know, 30 seconds. I'm running really late. Is anyone? Anyone? And then no one's answering, so she's literally going, anyone? Like that. And then she looks back at the lady, and the lady goes, nobody responded, so I guess they won't let you through. Get on the line. And she goes, and she grabs her bags. She gets on the line. Dude, she cuts everybody just doing the zigzag. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And I could feel her behind me. And luckily, I was next in line, and she's tapping my shoulder, and she's going, excuse me, excuse me, and the woman goes next, and I just walk up. I was like, God, I almost had to let her go, too, but everybody just let her cut through. It was embarrassing. It was like, you just made her walk the maze, cutting everybody. She just let her through.
Yeah, but what is the rule on that? I've often seen this happen, where there's a long line of people, someone is late. Now, do they have to ask everyone in line if they could cut, or can they go to the front of the line, turn back and go, guys, does anybody mind if I cut the line? Or do you have to ask every person as you go?
I think it should be a yell from the front. And I mean, come on. It's like, if you're begging enough like that, just let the lady, let it through. Let it through. I've seen though that they do that move. And then you get in, and like a half hour later, I see them strolling by with a coffee or something. I'm like, what, was your flight delayed? What the fuck?
Yeah, sometimes I don't even think it's a legitimate complaint or that they're late. It's just that they don't want to wait in line, and then they want to get on the other side and sit down and have a lunch.
Yeah, well, they're so frazzled. They don't fly often. They don't know how much time they need, and you're like, relax. Now, I got one last question with all this. When I am on security line, waiting to go through security, from the moment I hit that line, how long do I have to be on that line before I finally have a right to say, hey, I did get here in time. This is ridiculous. Like, you know, how long is it too long finally to be on security?
I think it should take no more than 15 minutes.
Wow. For a regular person like me, I was even going to go as high as 30 minutes.
Okay. No, I'll give you 30 minutes. I'm used to that pre-check, and it typically goes fast. But if you got to get in the line that's not pre-check, I would have to say 30 minutes is a good... Yeah, if it's over 30 minutes, I think you could pop out of line and go, hey, I've been here for 30 minutes. Let's do something about this.
Thanks for everything. I really appreciate it. This is my job. I get paid. You don't tip FBI, man. Sure you do.
All right, I'm finally caught up in all the episodes of Walking Dead. And for those of you with me that follow the show and just feel it and feel like you're a part of it, I have to start by saying I am so disappointed in the lack of judgment and responsibility of our leader, Rick Grimes, in the last two episodes. He's got to get in that Winnebago and go save Glenn and go save Daryl. And as he gets in the Winnebago with Big Red to go save the day, you know, everyone's coming up to the Winnebago going, it's my responsibility to come too. I need to help out. People that aren't qualified. And Rick says, you shouldn't come. It's too dangerous. And then they go, Rick, you can't stop me. And then Rick would give that little grin and let them in the camper. Like we're all going on a road trip to see the fucking Grand Canyon. What are we doing? We got a pregnant woman in the Winnebago who's sick. Why would we bring a pregnant woman on a mission like this, Rick? Not to mention the fact that why is anybody getting pregnant? I'm sorry, I know Maggie and Glenn want to have a kid, and now Big Red's thinking about doing it, but it's you don't have kids. You don't have kids. There's fucking zombies everywhere. I was reluctant to have a kid because we got a $19 trillion deficit, all right? And this is zombie-less land here. So now we're all in the situation where we got this Negan guy, first of all, with Negan. I mean, what is this, fucking Freddie Mercury reincarnated? With his dumb bat with barbed wire on the end? With his long-winded speeches? I mean, even if I was one of the guys in the circle with Rick Grimes, at some point I'd lean over and be like, guy, just hit me with the fucking bat, because I can't listen to you do eeny, meeny, miny. He was doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe. All the way up to, and my mother says to pick. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know a lot of people think the whole zombie thing in and of itself is unrealistic, but I'm down with it, and I feel it's more realistic than global warming. However, Negan doing all that chatter before deciding who he's going to hit with the bat, that was unrealistic. I mean, if he knew anything about Rick Grimes, if he got the memo about Rick Grimes at all, you're going to have Rick Grimes work for you? What are you, crazy guy? Put a bullet in Rick Grimes' head, because if you don't, you're fucking dead in the opening episode next season. Now, I don't know who got hit with the bat, and I got to tell you, out of everyone in that circle that could possibly have been the one that got hit with the bat, I'm going to be sad no matter who it is, because I really like them all. I mean, I guess if it's got to be anyone, maybe have it be that, I don't remember his name, that nice guy that they first stumbled upon, who's, you know, I hate to say it, but he's gay, or maybe that other guy, I forget his name too, but the real smart one who knows how to manufacture bullets. But if it's Glenn or Maggie or, you know, Carl, although I don't know, I don't know if I'd mind if it was Carl. I mean, little Carl is always in such a rush to throw on his eye patch, put the big hat on, and come out and help Dad save the day. And he's useless. He hasn't stepped up once. I mean, he almost got raped two seasons ago. I mean, this time he comes out, and what, within 2 seconds, the Winnebago is surrounded. I mean, what are we doing, Rick? We're carrying Maggie pregnant in a bed through the woods. What the fuck are we doing, man? So, I'm just so disappointed in how things played out. I mean, Daryl runs off to save someone, then Glenn runs off to save Daryl, and meanwhile, Carol, my favorite of all time, what is this breakdown she's having? She doesn't want to kill anymore? That's what you do, Carol. You're a killer, baby. Two bullets to the arm and you're laughing, laying in the cement. I was ready to write off the black guy too with the stick, but he came to save Carol. And I think now our only hope is going to be these dudes who wear that body armor. I don't know, they seem like nice guys. They're the ones that came across Carol and the black guy. I think they're going to save the day. We lost somebody, we realized that, blood was splattering. We have to deal with the fact that in 6 months from now, we're going to be saddened to find out who died. They're probably going to go to work for this Negan guy, and then these guys in the body armor are going to come in with a healed Carol and a refocused black guy with the stick who's ready to kill again. And we're going to save Rick Grimes, and we're going to get this goddamn Alexandria up and kicking, baby. Let's go. Yeehaw! I love this show. And I won't start into it now, but I'm well into second season of Fear of the Walking Dead. And I will just tease it with this. Anyone who thought, me included, that you could just go and get on a boat and go out at sea and be away from these zombies, oh, that doesn't work. There's pirating. Then these boats blow up and the zombies float. I thought they would sink. Apparently they float, so they're in the water like fucking jellyfish. Oh my God, it never ends. It never ends, baby. All right, over and out. We all kick back, relax. Maybe about 2-3 months from now, we'll do an update on Fear of the Walking Dead and get ready for the new season of Rick Grimes, baby. I'm out. By the way, the black guy with the stick in the show, his character's name is Morgan Jones, and in real life, the actor's name is Lenny James. I just say the black guy with the stick because everybody knows the black guy with the stick, so let's not make a big deal out of it, all right? The fantastically talented thespian Lenny James. All right, I gotta ask you something, man. I didn't pull the trigger on this, but it's a language thing. But here's the long short of it. My roof situation. I thought I had this guy. His name is Ruben. A heavyset Puerto Rican guy. Does roofs out of Dunkirk. He's gonna be my guy. He's gonna save the day. So the guy is like, it's hard to get him, right? It's hard to get him to show up, to take a look, and this and that, and you keep calling. So finally, he comes. He gets in the ladder. He goes up, checks out my whole roof. Tells me, give me a couple days, I'll put an estimate together. I keep waiting, and it's so hard to understand him, man. It's like, you know, even when you call his answer machine, it's in Spanish, so I don't know when to leave a message until I hear the beep. Otherwise, it's just, you know, and then I come hard and heavy with American, you know, so. But, and then when he's doing on the phone, I'm like, what's that? I don't understand you, what's that? So, he keeps blowing me off. He's not giving me an estimate. He keeps saying he's gonna come, and he doesn't. So finally, I'm on the road, and I set it up. He's going to meet Jackie at 3 o'clock. So 3:15, he's not there. So she calls him up, and she's like, I'm here. I'm waiting. When are you coming? And he's like, well, I'll be there later and stuff. So she starts yelling, like, you keep saying that. I mean, I got things to do, too. I mean, how long am I going to wait here? I need to know. And he's like, 45 minutes. She goes, okay. He never shows up at all, right? So she calls him. He doesn't answer. So... when I try to call him, usually, he doesn't know who's calling him. So every time I have to go, hey, it's Pete, the guy over in Fredonia at the blah, blah, blah. So today I call him up. Now, in the meantime, this Amish guy who might be able to do it couldn't do it. But the Amish guy told me about another Amish guy. So that Amish guy was doing a job. They can't drive themselves. So yesterday... I had to go pick up that Amish guy in the parking lot of Home Depot because he was doing another job and he got dropped off there. I pick up the Amish guy, dude, the full beard, the fucking straw hat. He put it on his lap when he got in my Jeep, the overalls. He comes over to look at my house. Bro, he takes the ladder, goes up to the porch, then he takes, because I said I don't have a long enough ladder, then he takes that same ladder, pulls it up with him to the porch. From the porch roof, he puts it on the highest peak of my roof. He goes up there with the little straw hat and the work boots, no gloves, nothing. Steep as shit, high as hell, just hanging out. And then as he's looking around, observing my pipe, are you at my house? He pulls out the corn cob pipe.
No.
And he does a couple of puffs while he's got one arm up on my chimney. Oh, I got an Amish guy smoking a fucking... pipe on my roof. Oh, you can't. For a second there, I was like looking over my shoulder to make sure the Indians weren't coming. It was really throwback time. I felt like I was in the 1800s.
God.
So he comes back down. He gives me the whole lowdown. He's going to put an estimate together. The guy's unbelievable. He's like, don't worry, I have a driver who's not Amish. He drives me every day to the site. So I just have to take him back to Home Depot. His guy's going to be there to pick him up.
stinking up my Jeep, I'm not gonna lie to you. But not body odor, just like a man who's been working all day so I can handle it with the window down.
Yeah.
I drop him back off, and I'm pretty confident he's gonna do the job. So now, this morning, I think about Ruben, the Puerto Rican guy, and I'm pretty pissed off. So I call him up. Hello, hello. I go, hey, Ruben, yeah, it's Pete over at Fredonia. Oh, yeah. I go, yeah, man, you know, I got to say, you make my wife sit for 3 hours, and then you don't even show up. And, dude, I was just about to start dropping F-bombs. But Jackie didn't even know I was calling him. And she's in the other room, and she pops her head in. She goes, be nice. So I'm like, so I should quit shut it down. I go, I don't even understand that. I mean, if you're sitting around, I guess you're not going to do this job then? Is that the deal? I come a little back nicer. Dude, he hangs up on me. This is what I'm dealing with. What kind of man hangs up on a man?
Oh, no.
You know? Although I hung up on somebody a couple months ago. I was embarrassed. I called him right back. I was embarrassed. So anyway, so then I go to text him, and I say, are you kidding me? You're a fucking zero, pal. And I go, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure the people don't do business with you. And then at the end, I go, although you probably can't fucking read this anyway. And then I go, God damn, I am so... And Jackie looks at me, she goes, Guy, you're not fucking sending anything like that at all. So, of course, and I'm not... Dude, this isn't a racial thing. I want to get to my point. But then I just text back going, come on, what kind of business are you running? Did you really hang up on me? And I just left it at that. But... I say this out of respect for any country. If I moved to another country and I was going to live in that country, presumably for the rest of my life, do I have an obligation to learn that language? And if so, what window? 4-5 years?
Assuming
you can afford Rosetta Stone.
You know what? If you live in a country, you will pick up the language just by osmosis. Living there.
You would think. I mean, is this guy in a little Spanish bubble?
I don't know. I mean, you would think that people would definitely pick up the language. Just not only walking around town, but television. I'd say a year. You got a year to learn the language. If not, you're going to have to leave.
Well, I think a year isn't long enough. I mean,
If you live a year in Italy, you don't think you pick up the language?
Italy, I could probably pick it up with lunch, you know? But I'm talking, you go to China, I'm like, you guys are going to have to give me 7 years on this, and I'm not going to be able to do anything else but work on this, so someone's got to finance me. Chinese? It's crazy. But, and I want to make it clear, I don't mean to sound racial. I was hugging the man to say thank you when he told me, he got off my roof and said he was going to do the job. I was just very angry and thinking of the easiest thing to make him mad. And of course, I wouldn't send that. You know, I understand. And I'm not saying you got to be able to speak fluent language, but I do think it's, you know, like if I lived in Italy, as a good example, Sebastian, after like 2 years, if my neighbor goes, I got the paradisa, and I don't even understand him, doesn't he have a right to go, okay, if you're going to be part of the party, bring something to drink here, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it's a racial thing, man.
Well, all right. I just, you know, I want to make that clear.
No, I don't think it's a racial thing. I just think when you come to a country, you're going to live in it. You'd have to learn the language of the people, or I mean, I don't know, man. Listen, and this is coming from a guy whose grandparents didn't speak the language. My grandparents came from Italy and lived for, they must have been here, what? 35, 40 years, didn't pick up the language, which I found to be completely amazing. That they came when they were probably in their late 30s and were speaking Italian the whole time.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's like being on vacation forever. Right? I don't understand any of these people. This is fun.
So I do think you're supposed to learn the language. I
mean, so, like, could your grandparents understand it, though?
Yeah, I mean, we communicated in a way. I mean, it's not like they were totally, you know, not picking anything up. My grandfather, more than my grandmother, knew English. But, I mean, for people that lived 35 years in the country, you would expect them to have more of a grasp of the language than they did. I had my father come out to Milwaukee to see me. My father, I don't know if this is an age thing, and maybe your parents do this, but my father and I were at a bar before the show, and he's done this countless times. He drinks Campari on the rocks. Every time we go out, whether it be a restaurant or a lounge, what have you, the waiter comes over and my father, like clockwork, will go, I bet you don't have this. And the waiter's like, what? And he goes to me, I bet they don't have it. You guys don't got Campari, do you? But he says it in a way that he's like drinking something so exclusive that the normal places just don't carry it.
Well, it's a real sweet wine, right?
No, it's like an aperitif. It's like a liquor. It's like a liqueur.
Oh, okay.
It's red. It's bitter. So he goes to me, same thing, in Milwaukee, he goes, I cut him off. I go, just ask the guy nicely if he's got the Campari. Why you gotta act like this is a big thing? He did it when we were at a restaurant, Italian restaurant, and he was gonna order artichoke pasta. So the guy comes up to get the order, and my father goes, I bet these artichokes aren't fresh, right? They're out of a can. I go, what the fuck? Why are you making such a big... Is this an age thing? Do your parents do this? What is this?
My dad bought olives for the White Inn the last time he was here for his martinis. So, he ordered a martini. He was staying for a weekend at the White Inn when my house was being done, when I just didn't buy it yet, and he was visiting when Sadie was born. There's a great little inn on Main Street up the block from me. And he loves their bar. And he goes in there and he says, I want a martini. And the girl goes, we don't serve martinis. And he goes, why? She goes, we don't have the olives, so we don't serve martinis. So my father's like, the fuck kind of bar? So he goes across the street to the deli supermarket there and he gets a big thing of olives and comes back and he puts them down. He's like, now you got martinis. So, I mean, he's like, I'm going to be here all weekend. I like to sit out on the porch with a martini. So, yeah, I mean, but, yeah, I guess you get older, you want what you want, man.
Yeah, but they don't make it sound like it's an issue. God damn.
Well, I mean, I'm into the Blue Moon. So if I go to a bar and they don't have Blue Moon, I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, but you don't make the bar feel bad, do you? If you don't go, I bet you guys don't got Blue Moon, huh? I'm sure you go, yeah, Blue Moon. They go, no. And you go, okay, I'll take a Budweiser or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not an issue.
Yeah, I'd say, well, give me something that tastes closest to a Blue Moon, you know? But, no, I ain't your old man. By the time I'm 70, if you don't have a Blue Moon, yeah, I'd probably be like, let me guess, you guys don't have Blue Moon, do you? What the fuck? By the way, I love the Campari bottle, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't that usually the one that has the straw at the bottom of it?
Yeah, that's right.
I love that. Yeah, that's so Italian.
Oh, God, it just reeks of Italian.
It really does, man. Fantastic for your dad.
Yeah.
I was in a joint the other night in Des Moines. I love when the fancy joints do this. The ice cubes in the pee urinal. I like that. I think that's nice. Nice little touch.
Oh, yeah, the at the bottom of the urinal. We talked about this one time.
We did?
Why they put those ice cubes at the bottom.
No.
First of all, it melts the urine down the drain. So it doesn't stay there. So when people don't flush.
Ah, yeah.
So the urine lays on the ice, and as it melts, it almost like just seeps down, I think. No, that can't be right.
I don't know, man. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, if not, that should be the reason.
Hold on. Why are there ice cubes in a urinal? I think we did this before.
We did.
But why do you, when you piss in the urinal and there's ice cubes, do you piss on the ice cubes or do you let it fall?
I usually hit the cubes anyway, because if you go direct, it's going to splatter back on you. So I usually, by the way, I got these pair of Nikes, and I like to wear, I keep the laces undone for the sneakers because it's too tight. And, the other day I'm in the fucking bathroom urinal taking a leak and my lace is touching the floor.
Oh, gotta burn the lace.
Oh, man, I had to tie the shoe up, wash my hand, and then when I got home, God, I rubbed the stuff on. What is going on with that, man? Why are we getting worse with that shit?
I don't know, man.
I mean, so it touched? It touched?
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's... You might show your shoes.
By the way, dude, speaking of gross, you gotta Google... Also, have you seen these new JetBlue nap pods?
Oh, mint. Yeah, I've been in those. Beautiful.
Really? Because I'm reading online, people are saying left and right that it's a germ pad. It's disgusting. And then when the visor comes down, that's supposed to block out all of the what's going on at the airport, that it doesn't block that out. And lastly... There's like four of them in the airport. You're drawing that much?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is something different. I thought you meant on the airplane. No.
Oh, no. You would never go in this thing. You got to Google this. This is not what you... They're free. There's only like four of them. You go in it, you look like a rhino at the zoo. People are staring at you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no. I would never go in those pods. Never. I just pulled up the flushing here. It says auto flush exists because some people don't flush. Urinal cakes exist because some people don't flush. So, of course, ice exists in urinals because some people don't flush. But why would you use ice instead of urinal cakes or auto flush systems? Because ice is cheap and readily available. So that's why.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Case dismissed.
I like ice way more than the urinal cake.
Yeah, I don't like the urinal cakes. I'd rather piss into some ice.
Do you ever spit gum or anything into the urinal, standing one, or just pee?
No. I mean, I have, but I don't do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I never do, like, and I do chew gum, but I never do because I think this guy's got to clean this out. That's a job in and of itself. He doesn't need to have to put his glove on. I mean, he's going to have gloves on anyway. Pick my gum out? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's the way I think. I mean, I've done it before, and after I've done it, I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have done that. The guy's got to clean that out.
I have so much, and I know you do too, just the most immense amount of respect for anybody that does anything, man. Just do something. You know? I mean, just... Oh, by the way, you know when they have the elevator with your bag when you gotta, you can't bring it on the plane, but you can get it as soon as you get off?
Yeah.
So the elevator comes up, and the girl is a woman, and she's taking the bags off, walking them 10 feet up, and then coming back. And I'm standing right next to it. My bag is sitting right there. I pull it off the elevator. Oh, my God. This broad acts like I just lit the fuse of a fucking bomb. No. You have to put that back. You have to put that back. Oh, my God. I put it back. She grabs it and gives it right back to me. What is this? A fucking Mel Brooks movie?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, anyway, man, unless you want to talk about the fact that Trump cleaned up, it might be time to wrap up.
Yeah, this is a wrap. I got to go to a luncheon.
Exactly. What do you mean a luncheon? Like, that sounds like ladies sipping tea.
No, it's a lunch that it's called Baby Buggies.
Seinfeld's wife's charity.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, it's over here at the Palm.
Is. Women sipping tea. You doing a little stand up?
No, just going for the lunch.
Oh, nice.
Let me give you a couple of dates here. This weekend, for those of you that are in Las Vegas, I'll be at the Mirage Hotel and Casino, and then I will be next week in Buffalo, Cleveland. Yeah, I'll be in Buffalo next week, man. What the hell's the date, man? Oh, it's the 20th already? Holy shit.
I forgot it's my birthday. Isn't that so cool? That's what men do. I woke up today and I didn't even remember it was my birthday because I'm a man.
That's it. You're a man. You don't need a birthday party. You don't need people saying happy birthday. I mean, happy birthday. It's fantastic. But we move on. I mean, come on.
Dude, my wife made a homemade cake. There's balloons all over the house. She even wrote on the chalkboard, "Happy birthday, baby." Yeah, you know, you need that. You need that.
Well, you need that from your wife, but come on, we need it from your buddy?
No, exactly, exactly.
Okay. Buffalo, the 28th. Cleveland, the 29th. And then Pittsburgh, the 30th. So come check it out.
This Friday and Saturday, I will be in Austintown, Ohio at Mojo's Comedy Club. Nice little intimate venue I'm looking forward to. Mojo's Comedy Club. And next weekend, Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. Bananas Comedy Club, Friday and Saturday night. Come on out, just on the outskirts of New York City. Bananas Comedy Club.
Good hang today. Remember, absolutely. If you remember anything from this cast, $100 don't get you to the gate.
There you go, man.
All right, man. Have a nice weekend.
Good hanging, bro.
Bye.
The show has ended.
I'm not sure how old. I will tell you he's timeless. And how about on the count of three so I could send him the tape and I can impress him? How about we all say happy birthday, Pete, on the count of three. Happy birthday, Pete. One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Pete.
Madison Square Garden wishes you happy birthday, Pete. Love you. Miss you. See you soon.
Yeah, man.
Keep living.